Blog Talk Radio.
Bringing voices to power. Grassroots mouthpiece.
It's the rap. Hip hop. The rap.
They can't stop us. United Voices with Sherry Saunders. Sundays 5 to 7. The Child Support Hustle is real. You can catch the Child Support Hustle show Saturdays from 5 to 7 with co-hosts Drew D and Kenya R. The Child Support Hustle is real. Bringing voices to power. Catch me on HuntsvilleBlack.com. That's HuntsvilleBlack.com. Let your voice be heard on HuntsvilleBlack.com. Don't miss the Grassroots Mouthpiece Show, Tuesdays from 8 to 10, bringing voices to power. Bringing voices to power.
Okay, in this episode of the Child Support Hustle, we talk with Tennessee State Representative Antonio Parkinson of District 98 about his bill that recently passed. His bill addressed some of the very important issues that the Child Support Hustle Reform activists all over the country are addressing. And it's good to see a legislator brought to the it's good to see a legislator getting in on this and trying to correct some of the inequities in the system. Good afternoon. How's it going, Mr. Parkinson?
Hey, good afternoon, Marcus. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity. Appreciate you guys providing a platform for, you know, for us just kind of equalizing the table a little bit.
Yeah, I was glad to hear that because we got something going here that a cancer.
still with me? Okay, you're a little bit low, so if you can speak up just a little bit.
Okay, is that better?
There you go.
That's much better.
Okay. Yeah, I said sometimes I'm afraid when the government gets involved in trying to look at these systems, they're not looking at some of the underlying causes and some of the side effects of the system. They're always looking at on how they can benefit the profit margin, in which I talk about in Title IV defunding. So
right.
Wanted to talk about. Yeah, some of the fallout, some of the fallout from not having a just system.
Well, you got to remember, it was the government that got involved that caused the system to be the way it is. So it's going to take someone inside of the government, an insider, to help fix it.
But it's going to take more politicians like you to do it, because we all know that the Title IV defunding, child support is in it's something that's under the Title IV defunding in the Social Security Department. These departments are getting huge allotments for these grants and for these cases. Now, that's bringing
right.
home the bacon to a politician. He's bringing home the bacon if he's getting, more contracts with his local DHR. But like we're saying, is somebody's getting burned in the process. The more profit that is there to make, the greedier sometimes you're going to see government get.
Right. Well, I think honestly, and I'm not the spokesperson for all elected officials and let me go on the record and say this: I don't consider myself a politician, except an elected official and a person of the people. But I think it's just a matter. I think a lot of elected officials or politicians are just simply not aware of what's going on, what's happening inside of the policy. And honestly, even myself, I wasn't aware of what was going on inside once I started, underneath, these layers of the policies. It honestly took me peeling back the layers to understand and see what was going on inside of the policies. To understand that our Department of Human Services was receiving a federal match on some of the child support orders. Well, percentage of the child support orders that they received.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but I had to get in here. It's not just a match. In some cases, it's a 5-to-1 match.
Right, and that very well may be. But the point I'm trying to make here is that I'm not so sure just as I was ignorant to the fact that this was even going on until I started peeling back the layers. So I think it's a matter of education. With some of our elected officials to make sure that they know that this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Could you tell us a little bit about the bill that you just got pushed through?
Yeah, so the bill that I got pushed through, what it does is, and remember, this is the first step for us in Tennessee, because this is the first time that legislation has been introduced that would even begin to revamp the child support order. And so what we got done this year is we capped the arrearages at 5 years for those that are getting new child support orders. But we also left in there room in the argument, what we call in the argument of justice, for those that have maybe had a situation where, the non-custodial parent has been threatening them with bodily harm, that they can argue, with the judge so that they can go back to the date of birth. But we also left in there a little room for the non-custodial parent to say to justice also, let's say, for instance, if there was a scenario where they had been living together for 4 of those 5 years, that they can, make that argument with the judge, that we've been living together for 4 or 5 years, so you don't need to go back the complete 5 years that the law now prescribes.
Yeah, that's only fair.
Right. Right.
And some of the things in the system we need to change, too, and I know sometimes in the African-American community they don't want to hear this, is they need to start, you know, scaling back on some of these rewards. Because if you think about it, we got young and younger girls getting pregnant, and some of them are seeing that as a way out of their parents' control. And mm-hmm. you got to look at what they're going to get. You know, they're going to get free housing, free food, free medical, and you know, and a lawyer. And God forbid, if you have a strained relationship with the baby daddy or the baby mama, then that's when things get ugly. And it's always the child that is on the worst receiving end of it.
Right, right. And there's a whole host of scenarios, you know, that we can cover. And like I said, you know, one of the things, for instance, like, and let me go back a little bit and explain how we got here. We got here because, you know, I was sitting in the barbershop and a young man came to me and he told me, he said, "Man, look, the judge ordered me to pay child support for a child that's not mine." We took DNA tests and we found out the child was not mine, but the judge still ordered me to pay their child support. From there, I held a town hall meeting where we had about 200 to 300 people that show up at this town hall meeting, and we heard a little bit from everybody. You know, paying child support for a child that by DNA that showed that wasn't theirs was a recurring thing. Grandparents' rights was a recurring thing. You know, arrearages was a recurring thing.
What about parental alienation?
Parental alienation was a recurring thing. And so what we began to do is we began to draft legislation to begin to address some of these issues that we heard about in the town hall meeting. And so we ran two pieces of legislation this year. That one, the one that to cap it at 5 years was the one that did pass. The one that about in regards to those that had DNA evidence to show that the child was not theirs and to stop the arrearages, stop the child support orders. It did not pass. We still got some work to do on it. So, you know, so there's work, and you know, our goal is simply this, is to take what the people were hearing from the people and you know, start the process of revamping the child support system in the state of Tennessee.
And that's why, man, I followed you a little bit, you know, did some little background check. And that's why, you know, the people that, you know, what you're saying that right there and you're concerned about it and willingness to start, like you said, draft legislation to start changing some of this. This is why many people in Memphis see you as a person that makes a difference. And I appreciate you doing that. And also, I appreciate your service in the Marine Corps as well. I got a nephew that's in the Marine Corps.
Thank you for that.
So we was hearing that you was doing some business on behalf of Tennessee in D.C. So how's things looking over there? You know, the national politics is looking real wild right now, and we really need people to be engaged. We really need them to be engaged.
It's really crazy. And, you know, we're here in D.C. We landed here in the middle of Pride Week. Didn't realize it was going to be Pride Week. So, you know, so the whole national pride thing is going on, parade and everything. We're here in the midst of that. You know, I want to send a shout out to my daughter who's here for a National Young Leadership, Young Leaders National Conference. She's here for that. And I'm here trying to meet with some of my our state reps and senators in regards to some of the issues and some of the challenges. And child support is one of those also.
Yeah. Yeah, congratulations on your daughter for doing that. I love to see young people engaged, and I think that we need to get more boots on the ground and start engaging our youth and getting more in our community, because unless we do that, the worst is not here.
Right, you're right. You got to start grooming that next generation. Can't sit back idly and wait on them. You know, you got to make it happen, you know, and put a little concerted effort behind it.
Now, let me ask you about this right here, too, because, like I said, I manage an online magazine, HuntsvilleBlack.com, and we've seen a spike in, like, violent shootings and murders and stuff like that. And everybody know Memphis from First 48. So
that's
what are some
our,
of the things?
Moniker.
Yeah, that. But you know, we got a part here in Alabama getting known for it too, in Birmingham, Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's getting pretty wild down there. What are some of the things that y'all are using to try to combat, you know, black on black violence? Period. But especially in the economically depressed communities.
Man, I'm glad you asked that question, man. It's almost like I planned that question. Here's the thing.
Hey, man, they don't call me the grassroots mouthpiece for nothing. I'm on it.
Right.
I'm on it.
Right. You are on it. Here's the thing, man. I'm going to tell you a little story. You know, back I grew up in L.A., and I remember, man, you know, in L.A., we saw a little bit of everything, you know. I lived in Nickerson Gardens in Watts, and that was labeled one of the worst projects in the country, in the entire United States of America. And you know, and in our stay in L.A., man, you know, saw violent things happening. I remember one time in particular, living in these new apartments. They were on 39th Street in Normandy, for those of you that are listening from L.A. And this is back in the 70s. And I remember this guy. We got to our new apartments, and this guy was spread across the stairs, and we had to go up the stairs to get to the second floor to our apartment. And he had been stabbed or shot or something, but he was bleeding out, bleeding through his coat, and he was spread across the stairs. And I remember my mother holding my hand and holding my brother's hand, who was a year older than me. I think we were four or five at the time, five or six, somewhere around there. And she held our hands, and she told us, you know, don't touch him. You know, just step over him. And we literally stepped over him, and we walked on up the stairs into our apartment. Here's the thing about that. The thing about that is this. That was the extent of our intervention, from seeing some, you know, a violent act, or, you know, a person that was in trauma. And for kids that are 5 and 6 years old, that's a traumatic event, right? And so when you have children that are that age, remember, those are the impressionable years, right? When you have children that are that age and that impression, you know, there's a need for an intervention professionally from a counselor or someone of that nature. And so what we have is, and now I want to impress this upon you. I'm also a Marine, you know, just like you mentioned earlier. So in the Marine Corps, you know, as an adult now, remember, as an adult Marine, they train us to go into situations where we're going to see violence, where we're going to see, we're going to experience instability where in our home place, you know, and other things, right? Those things bring on symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, right?
Yes.
Now, I want you to think about that. Think about what I'm saying. Think about what I'm saying. You got an adult male or female who's been trained. They go into a war zone for 1 year, and they come back with PTSD. Imagine what's happening with that 4-year-old, 5-year-old that grows up in a community like that, right, or a household like that for 10 to 12 years. So by the time they become 15 to 16 and they become the shooter that we know of, that we talk about in the news, right, we miss them at the early ages, at the early stages, just like when we stepped over that man that was spread across the stairs bleeding out, they missed me. No one intervened. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And guess what?
And see, that's how over time these kids have become desensitized to the gravity of every action you could take.
And let me tell you the rest of the story. So the rest of the story, when I was 14 years old, see, I was in the high school and I was being bullied by other kids. But my goal was, my idea, my strategy to get the bullies away from me, I brought a loaded gun to school on the last day of school in the 10th grade. Because my goal, my intent was to shoot these individuals that were bullying me. That was my goal. That was going to happen. Had it not been for one person that I told about it, that happened to tell on me about that I had a gun. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that stopped, that saved some kids' lives, saved my life as well. You know, and when I was in the 10th grade.
And see, I have a similar story to that that relates to what we're talking about. And I talked about this yesterday on the show when I had the president of the Alabama Family Rights Association. I had them on the show. I was talking about some of the mindsets, like you said, some of these mindsets in these courtrooms. I just wish somebody, a social scientist, I wish they could just go in these courtrooms, you know, unannounced and just observe for about 6 months. Some of these caseworkers and these judges, they treat these non-custodial parents like trash, and they talk to them like trash.
Right.
I mean, these people know they got the power to take your freedom. You say anything in court, you could land up in jail or fined or something like that. We have got to stop that type of mentality, because just like you said, when I was younger, and this is why I try to talk to people now, and this is why it's urgent to me. I was there at the point. I had the DHR workers taunting me, you know, for years. Taunting me for years, saying snippets of every little thing, and it still, you know, it continues a little bit, you know, and down to when I go to a child support hearing, the first 15, 20 minutes, we're talking about my radio show or my blog, my online magazine, you know, something about that. They're trying to correct me on some of the stuff I'm saying, which they never do because they can't prove it. I know what I'm talking about because I live this. But what I'm saying is sometimes these workers get in this mindset where they dehumanize, just like those kids have become desensitized to the violence. Sometimes these caseworkers and these judges get desensitized to that person on the other side of them being a human being.
They're totally looking at them
as a Title IV defunding case, you know, that's money coming in, you know. So you automatically looking at it bad. I just wish they would do a study like that, because I've seen it and heard it all too often. And when I was younger, like I said, I'm 47. I was about 20. And, you know, they had me where I could have acted out on a DHR worker. You see what I'm saying? If it wasn't for my upbringing, upbringing that changed me from that, I mean, these people laughing in my face about my visitation, you know what I'm saying? And just dogging me out, stuff like that, right there. And I wasn't the only one. They, you know, back then, they were doing every non-custodian in the courtroom like that. But I was, back then, I was the type of person that I would have done something. I was like, you know, this woman, I didn't say woman, I won't say it on this radio show, but I was like, this woman sitting up here laughing in my face and taunting me, don't she know? You know what I'm saying? That she pushed me to the edge. That's what I'm saying, that we got to address that too, because, like, when we have a death of a police officer, there's a big national thing, and it's good because they're like, you know, military people, they go into service, but you do have them go rogue, just like you had this Afghanistan Marine go rogue and kill some of our soldiers today. But like I was saying, you have some caseworkers that go rogue, and that type of thing has got to be changed. So when this cop got killed in Texas, they looked for this guy. They said the black guy, he just rolled up on the cop and just shot him.
When
they finally caught him and they did the little perk walk, they asked him what happened, and he said he said something to the effect that they was playing with him about him seeing his daughter in court. And they do that kind of stuff all the time. You know, they don't realize they're pushing people to the edge of poverty, and then you dehumanizing them, and then you threaten them and taking their freedom. I mean, it's just ridiculous, some of the stuff that I've seen. I have experienced it myself too, you know, but I've seen people get talked to, man, like you would think they was a piece of dirt on the ground, and they really had better not said nothing, else they would have went to jail. That's why I said I wish social scientists could get in there and look at that to make sure that process is not a mental torment. There's already torment going on with the breakup of a family, the disunity of this family. They need to make sure that it's not going any further.
No, I totally agree, you know, and also I think you hit a valid point. To make sure that you remember what you're doing when you're doing it, because you remember the social implication of what's going to happen when you make the decision that you make, and how you talk to that individual, how you talk to that person
And see, that's why I said I do it now, because I hear from so many young men, just like we got the out-of-control generation now, a lot of those people are on child support too, and they don't think like we do. They didn't have the mentor that you had to grab you up out of that, or they didn't have the raising I had to pull me back from that edge. I had to think about, what would this do to my family? Because I was like, man, I could just roll up and just do something crazy. But now, that's why I try to talk to young men about that is the wrong route to go. And it's like I studied sociology, so I be looking and noticing trends about stuff all the time. I hear more and more younger, frustrated people in the child support system who put their anger off on the female and the caseworker. And I was just saying, man, this, that you can't keep pushing people psychologically to the edge like that. Okay, maybe we lost the representative. If we did, we can go to a break, and maybe he'll call back in on the other side of this break. We'll be right back with the Child Support Hustle Show. Okay, we're back in this show with State Representative Antonio Parkinson, representing the 98th District. Could you tell us, a question I wanted to ask you was, how much blowback or pushback did you get from the Department of Human Resources in trying to push this through?
That's a good question, and And we got a lot of kickback. And, you know, this honestly, we really had to work this bill to get it done. We really had to work it and work it and work it to get it through. And you know, we were able to get it through one of the hardest bills I ever worked. And we were able to get it done, you know. Had a lot of Republican support, believe it or not. And, you know, believe it or not, our rural district attorneys had tried to run a bill like this last year but failed to get it through.
Uh-huh. Okay, now that you got that one, what's the next step? I know y'all are just not going to leave it at that. How y'all going to tighten up the family unit, you know, in family court? Because everybody knows family court is a mess, not just in Tennessee and Alabama, but nationwide. We need some reform when it comes to family court all across the board.
Here's an interesting thing. And I hope I can get this out before my phone dies. But the interesting thing is that, you know, I had more Democrats pushing against me on this one than I did Republicans. You know, some of our Democrats are, and I'm a Democrat myself, some of our Democrats are afraid to breach the child support issue, period. And it's unfortunate, you know, even if they know it needs to be revamped, they know that there needs to be, you know, some re-strategizing in this regard. You know, the political courage is not always there.
To upset any of the women groups, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, it's just the plain deal. I always said I was trying to craft a bill myself. I just about got it all wrote out. I got to find somebody to sponsor, but I'm going to call it the Equal Partners in Conception bill. We need to go back to Equal Partners in Conception. Because if we really be honest with ourselves, how can we know for a fact that it takes two people to create a life? So why can one person decide to end that life? Shouldn't that co-creator have a say-so? But we always jumped up to, we always skip that part of being co-creators, and we go directly to it's the woman's body. That's ridiculous. If we be honest with ourselves, that is totally ridiculous. And in my bill that I propose, if a woman want an abortion, she has to go in there and tell, you know, them, I don't want this child, and here is the father's name, and they should contact the father and say, do you want this child? If he wants that child, since he is co-creator, if she can decide to end that life, shouldn't the other co-creator decide that I want to keep this life? And if he does that, then she is absolved of all financial duties from it.
Yeah,
see,
well,
that sounds,
you know,
too much like right, and it's a long way before we get there because there's too much money to be made in keeping this system in balance. And if you really look at the core of it and be honest, it's gender discrimination.
Right. Yeah, but, you know, and just as well, there may be a need, you know, for there to be mandatory DNA testing, you know, at birth for non-married people.
Yeah, yeah. I've been hearing a lot. I'm glad you said it. I've been hearing a lot in the child support reform activist movement about that very thing, like you just said. They should be doing DNA testing at birth. Because if you go ahead and do it at birth, then some of these people won't end up in this heavy arrearage, like you were talking about, 5 years,
right.
And then
right.
hit with the heavy interest on it every 30 days that the total amount has not been paid. You can make your payment every month, but every 30
right.
days that total amount isn't paid, is going to be hit with interest that doesn't go to the mother, doesn't go to the child, it goes to the state and the
right.
government.
Right. Right.
So
that's,
is it
that's
an
idea also.
Yeah. So is anything you want to say to wrap it up? Anything, any encouragement you want to give or say what's next on the slate concerning that matter, or anything else you got going on in Tennessee?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I just tell people to get active, be active, you know, be involved with, you know, with your legislator. Know who your legislator is, you know, and look, you elect them. They work for you. It's not that you work for them. And don't forget that. And when you understand that, you'll make sure that you keep them, you know, on the path or the strategy of the things that are an interest to you. And so, you know, that's the last thing I want to leave with people, you know. Just remember that the legislators, the people that you vote for, work for you. And vote, you know.
Yeah.
We have a lot of our people.
Yeah, and I always want to tell people this right. I want to tell people this right here too, and this might be a good idea of something strategy that you can try. You know, I tell people if you're a convicted felon, at least try to get at least 3 people to the polls to vote for you. Ask 3 people to go and vote for you on a cause. If it's for governor, if it's for anything, you still can get involved if you don't have your rights. You can make a bigger impact as you try to get your rights back by encouraging 3 people to go and get active.
I'm glad you said that. It's almost like a setup question again. Our thing with that is this. Your role as an individual that does not have the right to vote is to drive 5 people to the polls.
Yes.
And get them to vote. That's your role. Not encourage, but get up, put them in the car, drive them to the polls, and tell them to vote for the person that has your back, that has your interest at heart.
Yeah,
that's our strategy on that.
Yeah, and start early. Start going out educating them. Start going out educating them.
Right.
And also, I want to give big shouts out to you because you believe in small business. I also read that, you know, about that too in your bio.
I'm a small business owner myself.
Yeah, creating opportunities and for other people, as well as mentoring many young leaders in the Memphis and Shelby County communities, and why you can continue to serve in all the positions that you hold. That's really good. Glad to see you out there. Appreciate it. I wish you the best of luck. And always feel free to come back on the show because we could always chop it up like this and come away with ideas.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for giving us a platform. On your show.
Thank you very much for being a guest, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right.
My heart, my soul, and my affection. The Holy One, the Right.